College Inn Porterhouse in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, we invite your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast and listen to America's favorite, Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club. And here is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Good morning to ya. We woke up bright and early just now. Howdy do ya. First call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake up, Breakfast Club is on the
Well, good morning to you, and a happy Tuesday.
Good old Tuesday.
Yeah, good old Tuesday. Well, I tell you, my friends, some of you Breakfast Clubbers sure do listen carefully. And this morning, because we have an audience composed partly of secretaries, this is National Secretaries Week, you know, I'm sure they will listen carefully. Now, there's a fellow named Chuck Atwell. Down in Abilene, Texas, he's a traveling man, listens in his car, and he wants to know how come I insist that every girl singer we have on this program, a regular or a guest, is a cute little gal. Says, I say that about everyone. He said, don't you ever have one that is just attractive or just pretty and not little? Hi, Anita.
Hi.
Well, you should see Anita. Also, he says that he catches me time after time using the phrases, as a matter of fact, and well, actually. Well, actually, I guess I do, as a matter of fact. But just to please Chuck Atwell today, if anyone here in the audience catches me using either of those phrases this morning, either actually or as a matter of fact, you say so, yell right out here, and I'll have a prize for you. So I'm going to not do it this morning.
Not do what?
This guy Atwell sent a poem, Texas Ode to Alaska. Says, there's been a lot of talk of late about our newest, biggest state, about their rugged mountain range and vast, uncharted, snowy plains.
Yeah.
Of gold and oil and silver, too, where midnight skies are midnight blue. I'd like to speak of Texas, where we ain't afraid to stick out our nexus. You keep your blubber and your parkas. We like mink from Neiman Marcus. You keep your whale and far-off gnome. We'll take steak in San Antone. Wild quarter horses and pretty women, midday siestas, moonlight swimming. These we have, and they can't be found where there's snow upon the ground. Keep your bears and Klondike gold. Give us diamonds and ranch mink stoles. Save your elk and Kodiaks. We like golden Cadillacs. We're glad you joined the 48, but don't forget the Lone Star State. You may be second, but we love you still. Little old Texas, you ain't over the hill. Very cute.
Matter of fact,
I admire the honesty of some of the people who are here this morning, some of the gang from Morris, Illinois.
Yeah.
Some of these young people, very honest. Like, for example, Lana Gregoyne, I think her name is. No, Dick, sit down.
All right.
I don't want her close to me at all.
Why?
In fact, where are you, Lana? Well, good. As close to the door as you can get. You know what she ate on the bus? You know what she ate on the bus coming in here?
Yeah.
Potato chips, cookies, bananas, and a peanut butter and bologna sandwich.
Sounds good.
As close to the door as you can get. And that's Nancy Hugas of Morrisville. Do you know what she wrote on her car?
No. I'm afraid to ask.
She wrote, if I knew Frankie Avalon wasn't going to be here, I wouldn't have come. How are you, Dick?
I have the same trouble with my wife and daughter, so don't worry.
And listen to this from Sandy Mateel. Is that the way you pronounce that? Mateely? Huh? Is that the way you pronounce it? How do you pronounce it? Mateel? Yeah. Says, I'm broke. The only reason I came here is because this show is free.
That's the reason we come here.
Yeah.
They'd have had to pay if Frankie Avalon was here.
Such honesty. Well, I'll tell you what, Dick. If you sing a song, even though you're not Frankie Avalon, And if you sing it real pretty, you will inspire five of the members of the class, who will then sing their school song for us.
Oh, all right.
Inspire them,
all
will
right.
you, please?
All
Here's
right.
Dick.
I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I'll give you my heart. I love you, and you alone were meant for me. Please give your loving heart to me, and say we'll never part. I think of you every morning, dream of you every night. Darling, I'm never lonely whenever you're inside. I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I've given you my heart. I've given you my heart. I've given you my heart.
Well, that should have inspired these five gals. Where are the five
Third
gals?
Row, I think, Don.
Let's sing. All right, girls, would you stand up, please? We want to hear this beautiful, talented group of little gals sing their class song here. This is very dainty, very beautiful, very inspired. All right, girls.
That's what I inspired?
Not Silent Night, girls. Your class song, if you please.
All right. We are the sophomores, and we have fun. We are the class of 61. Nobody like us, nobody like us. We are the sophomore class. Rock, rock!
Beautiful thing, yeah.
What do
you say, Frankie?
It's wonderful being an inspiration to something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it
does your heart good, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yes, very good. Gives you kind of a warm feeling.
A warm feeling in the
down
pit of my
here,
stomach.
Yeah.
All right. I have often heard Bill Crenn sing that same number.
Have you?
He was in the same class. Oh, 1861.
Well, our young lady who's going to sing for you now just graduated from high school a year ago. Now she's doing her scholarship duties at Northwestern University as a result of being Miss Oklahoma and very close to being Miss America. But we're glad she just came close so she could be with us. That is a very cute lavender outfit you have
on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It is...
En Pierre.
What?
En Pierre.
That's
oh,
that new style
your
they
language.
Have. Is that a new style where they wear the babushka around their waist? Whatever it is. Right?
All I got to say is if you tried to have a waistline that high, you'd be in trouble. All right, what are you going to sing for us?
Are you lonesome tonight?
What's that again?
Are you lonesome tonight?
Go ahead and sing, never mind me.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when you kissed me and called me sweetheart? Do the chairs in the parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at the doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Won't you come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome?
That was Anita Bryan rehearsing for her appearance in the Evanston jail, where she will be singing Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Eight to the bar.
Eight to the bar. Now, Mrs. I'm not sure if it's Miss or Mrs. Niendorf.
Miss Niendorf.
Niendorf.
Niendorf, yes.
And you're a secretary here in Chicago, are you?
Yes, I am.
And also hostess for this program?
Right.
You mean you are in charge of the gals who came down here?
Yes.
What's your secretarial job? Is it unusual?
Well, I think it is. I work for an auctioneer and we travel. I travel all parts of the country.
Oh, when he dicks, I can just hear him dictate to you. Secretary, take some dictation. Is that the way he dictates?
Oh, no.
Well, it gives you an opportunity to meet all kinds of people, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. All walks of life.
What should a good secretary do? What's the most important thing a boss should have for a secretary, would you say?
Good lap.
Consideration.
What?
A good lap for sitting
on
it.
No, that's ridiculous. No secretary ever sits in a boss's lap anymore.
No.
No, you never do you?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. Consideration, you say?
Yes.
That's a good quality. I was thinking of a real good fountain pen, too. That wouldn't hurt either, would it?
No.
I'm still thinking of sitting on a lap.
When your boss signs letters, is his signature readable?
Oh, yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Does he ever scratch notes out in shorthand for you to type up into letters?
No.
He doesn't, huh?
No.
Does yours ever do that?
Yes.
Yes. I often do that for my secretary, too. How do you pronounce your
Agen.
Name? Agen.
Yes.
Now, in your secretarial duties, you have had an unusual experience, didn't you?
That's correct.
What's that?
I took dictation in the dark, complete darkness, for 2 hours.
Wow. What, was he afraid to turn on the lights?
No. It occurred at a meeting at Orchestra Hall. My boss had asked me to accompany him to take notes. And when we arrived and we were set for the meeting, they put all the house lights out, and the lecture was in the form of information projected upon the screen, necessitating the putting out of the lights. Mm. And I was to take shorthand in the darkness. And I did it. My employer says you do the best you can.
Could you read it, Ann?
I would say I read 3/4 of a completely full notebook when I returned.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
My boss thought so, too.
Yes. You get a nice boss, Ann?
Very nice.
Good.
Did we give Sam this shorthand notebook?
Shorthand
notebook. And name him the male secretary of the year.
Male secretary of the year.
Well, that's quite an honor.
But not what year.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of
that.
Any old year
will do.
I'll go up here and take notes, and or would you rather dictate in the dark like the other lady?
We have our national secretary of the year here, Miss Jean Sagan. She's going on another program after she leaves here.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad she gets around. Fine. Mm-hmm. Well, say hello to her for me and wish her the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh,
thank you.
Okay, male secretary. All right. Here comes a song by Dick Noel that I think you might enjoy, and just like there shouldn't be 1 week, probably, for secretaries, it should be all year long that the boss shows them consideration. So with this song, every day is Mother's Day at our house.
Every day is Mother's Day at our house. Everything depends on Mom at our house. Her loving hands are never still the whole day long. She understands and always will when things go wrong. Like an angel, always there to guide us. All our lives she'll always walk beside us. So we don't wait for just a day in May to show our love at our house. Every day is Mother's Day.
Thank you, Dick. That brings us to hymn time with Anita Bryant.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his light house evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the light along the shore. Let the lower light be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman
each in his own words, each in his own way, for a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Amen. Memory Time. This Spirit and Sunshine magazine, and in the March issue, it's called Call Our System What You Will. The American system of doing things has various descriptive names. One is free enterprise, another is capitalism. A relatively new one is people's capitalism. It may be that the last is the best, for it tersely covers a situation which makes us close to unique among the nations. In the United States, the masses of the people have the financial ability to own a direct stake in the enterprises which produce our goods and services. And great numbers of them have taken advantage of that opportunity. For example, the owners of stock in American corporations number close to 10 million. The great majority of these people are in the moderate income brackets. They include every craft and calling, merchants, professional men, mechanics, white-collar workers, insurance salesmen, and they also include large numbers of retired people. These shareholders have put a part of their savings in companies in whose future they have confidence, the hope of getting a good steady return in the form of dividends. In doing that, they have done much more. They have concretely expressed their faith in the principles in which the American economic system is based. They've said, in effect, that their welfare demands the support and perpetuation of that system. So call this system what you will, one thing is sure: it has done more good for more people than any other system ever devised. I'm always interested in the ambitions of young people. Janet Decker has an unusual one, although it may not be so unusual among people her age. Where's Janet? Janet, wilt thou come up here and have words with me, please? She and her girlfriend have a dual ambition, you might say. What do you and your girlfriend hope to be, Janet?
Me and my girlfriend, we've always had the ambition we want to go to be the first woman on the moon.
You want to be the first woman on the moon. I see. What would you do up there?
Well, we want to marry moon men and have twins.
Marry moon men and have twins.
Maybe that's where I need to go.
Well,
do you think so? It might help to go to the moon, get a man?
You're having trouble down here, are you?
Sure.
Oh, come now.
All girls have trouble. That's right.
You're not having any difficulty, are you, Jenny?
Oh, I guess not.
No. I mean, some of these earth men aren't too bad. You get
no.
To know? No. It would be nice, though. I bet you'd get scared, though. You'd get chicken if you really had a chance to get in a rocket and they said, okay, kid, off to the moon. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I might.
You might, yeah. Well,
try it.
Fine. Just so happens I got one parked out here in the alley. So. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I hope if you are the first gal that goes to the moon, I hope that you'll find what you want up there.
I do too. It's
supposed to be made of green cheese.
What does she think a moon man would look like?
What would a moon man look like?
I don't have a
place. I do. Stand up, Sam. That's about it, I think. Yeah. Better stay here, Janet.
I'll stay here, too.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants those old moon men. Here's another one of the young Morris, Illinois students, Peggy Mompert.
Peggy?
Peggy, let's take care of this little matter for your mother right now. Her mother is under a misapprehension here, and I think we ought to inform her what's going on. Let's tell mother right now. Tell her. What does your mother think?
She thinks she's still on television.
Yes, and every morning she turns on the TV, what does she get?
Captain Kangaroo.
Yes, please. That is not us. Although I can see where she'd wonder sometimes, yeah. Wow.
Wow, right.
Let's get them both together, huh? Anita and Dick and Juanita.
Southern moon, far o'er the mountain, breaks the day too soon. In thy dark thy splendor, where the warm light lies. clouds to dwell. Weary, loose, yet tender, speak their fond farewell. Nita, Juanita, ask thy soul if we should part. Nita,
about what?
There's never been a song written for Anita.
For Anita?
Anita. Mm-hmm. Anita.
Well, there certainly Anita. Shall be. We'll have one by tomorrow morning.
You betcha, boy.
Really?
Won't we, songwriters?
Yes, sir, we will. Sure will, Doc.
Oh, good.
Yes.
We could even have one by yesterday morning if we hurried.
If we hurried, yeah. After all, you are sitting next to the writer of Dorothy Hermesheimer.
Yeah.
Anything can happen here. Yeah.
Let's be specific.
Well, now,
I'm sitting next to her, too.
Dick, please, if you haven't got anything to say, don't say it.
That was the best I could do.
If you have a guy like to say, let me keep still. Yeah.
But this song of Sam's, Dorothy Hermesheimer, people haven't forgotten it. Now, Ralph Wells of Marshfield, Vermont, says, as we returned from Florida to the hills of Vermont, we named our car Dorothy Hermesheimer, the mountain climber. Mrs. Thomas McCannon of Fairfax, Virginia, says her three-year-old goes around all day singing, I love Dorothy Hermesheimer, boom. And Mrs. Venuta Albee of Salinas, California, heard her four-year-old Kathleen wind up her prayers the other evening, said, God bless Mommy, Daddy, and then she named all the aunts, uncles, cousins, and neighbors, and Dorothy Hermesheimer. And Mrs. George Benson of Silverton, Oregon, says, I felt we needed a new song. I was hungry for a new song. Since hearing Dorothy Hermesheimer, I'm fed up. Nice comment. And Miss Nikki Zelenko of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, wrote and said, I've been home from school with a chicken pox and Dorothy Hermesheimer. You inspired me to draw a picture of her, and she encloses it. And I think it's a striking likeness of Dorothy Hermesheimer, including the long underwear on there. So for all who are sick and ill this morning, why don't you do Dorothy Hermesheimer?
I love Dorothy Hermesheimer. She's a mountain climber. Female mountain climber. I love Dorothy Hermesheimer, and I know she loves me.
Beautiful, beautiful, isn't it? Real lilt. Well, now we'll hear from more people.
Tomorrow we'll have Anita.
Second thought, I don't think I want Sam.
Oh, you asked for it.
It's too late.
Yeah. They said it couldn't be done, but it'll be done.
It will be done.
Anita.
Not good, but it'll be done.
That's right. Now, where's Clarence Crozier of Champaign, Illinois? I want Anita to take a look at him, because here's another fellow who got in trouble, just like Anita has. She got arrested, you know, for...
I was afraid that might happen, since she was from Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, same thing. Are you from Oklahoma?
No, I'm from Illinois.
Oh. What might happen if she was from Oklahoma?
They're a bunch of tough characters down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, she got arrested up here, though.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. You got arrested in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma City, right.
That is a switch. Well, why did they arrest you, Clarence?
Well, I happened to be in Wichita, Kansas, and this desperate criminal robbed a bank out there, and he happened to have the same name except the middle initial. And I went from Wichita to Oklahoma City, and they... put spotters out for me all day at the airlines and the railroad station.
No
and
kid.
I waited till I had a flight back to Wichita about 8:30 that evening, and they picked me up at the airport about 8:30.
Did you have any idea what was going on?
I had no idea what was going on, and the two that picked me up wouldn't tell me what was going on. So they drug me downtown and held me for about an hour, and in the meantime, all these things are turning, you know, you're thinking what might have happened to you, and they wouldn't tell me, and finally they showed me this
flyer. You were thinking of all the wrong things you did.
All your sins catch up with
you. Yeah, which one they got me for?
So then they showed me this flyer that had the picture on it, and I happened to be wearing a brown hat, and the man was about the same age and build and had the same name, and being an unusual name, which you don't find too often, they locked me up for a while. So the only thing that saved me was one thumbprint. They had the man's
fingerprint
on the flyer, and after they checked all of them, I
found you weren't the guy.
That was it.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of an amazing experience.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Scared the living daylights out of you, didn't it?
Well, when people that travel all the time, you expect certain things to happen, but this is one that shouldn't happen to you.
No, it shouldn't happen to anybody. Well, Clarence, I'm glad you got out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir, I want to thank all of you for helping us make a neighborhood of the nation. And so until tomorrow, when the whole gang will be with us here again, and I hope you'll be with them, this is your Toastmaster Don McNeil and the bunch saying so long and be good to your neighbor.
Don McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.